Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. On this podcast, we're going to discuss a peer-reviewed pro-intelligent design paper in the International Journal of Design and Nature and Ecodynamics that endorses irreducible complexity. Titled Evidence of Design in Bird Feathers and Avian Respiration, and authored by Leeds University professor Andy McIntosh, the paper argues that two systems vital to bird flight, feathers and the avian respiratory system, exhibit irreducible complexity. The paper describes these systems using the exact sort of definitions that Michael Behe uses to describe irreducible complexity, stating, quote, functional systems, in order to operate as working machines, must have all the required parts in place in order to be effective. If one part is missing, then the whole system is useless. The inference of design is the most natural step when presented with evidence such as in this paper, that is, evidence concerning avian feathers and respiration, unquote. Regarding the structure of feathers, Professor McIntosh argues that they require many features to be present in order to function properly and allow for flight. The article states, quote, it is not sufficient simply to have barbules to appear from the barbs, but that opposing barbules must have opposite characteristics, that is, hooks on one side of the barb and ridges on the other, so that the adjacent barbs become attached by hooking barbules from one barb attaching themselves to ridged barbules from the next barb. It may be well that, as you et al. Suggested, a critical protein is indeed present in such living systems, birds, which have feathers in order to form feather branching. But that does not solve the arrangement issue concerning left-handed and right-handed barbules. It is that vital network of barbules which is necessarily a function of the encoded information software in the genes. Functional information is vital to such systems, unquote. He further notes that many evolutionary authors, quote, look for evidence that true feathers developed first in small non-flying dinosaurs before the advent of flight, possibly as a means of increasing insulation for the warm-blooded species that were emerging, unquote. However, he finds that when it comes to such fossil evidence for the evolution of feathers, none of the fossil evidence shows any evidence of such transitions. Regarding the avian respiratory system, McIntosh contends that a functional transition from a purported reptilian respiratory system to the avian design would lead to non-functional intermediate stages. He quotes John Rubin, stating, quote, the earliest stages in the derivation of the avian abdominal air sac system from a diaphragm ventilating ancestor would have necessitated selection for a diaphragmatic hernia in taxa transitional between theropods and birds. Such a debilitating condition would have likely immediately compromised the entire pulmonary ventilatory apparatus and seems unlikely to have been of any selective advantage, unquote. With such unique constraints in mind, McIntosh argues that even if one does take the fossil evidence as the record of development, the evidence is in fact much more consistent with an ab initio design position, that the breathing mechanism of birds is in fact the product of intelligent design. McIntosh's paper challenges that science must remain open to at least the possibility of detecting design in nature, as to, quote, deny the possibility of involvement of external intelligence is effectively an assumption in the religious category, unquote. Since feathers and the avian respiratory system show irreducible complexity, he argues that science must consider the design hypothesis. He states, quote, as examples of irreducible complexity, they show that natural systems have intricate machinery which does not arise in a bottom-up approach, whereby some natural selective method of gaining small-scale changes could give the intermediary creature some advantage. This will not work since, first, there is no advantage unless all the parts of the new machine are available together, and second, in the case of the avian lung, the intermediary creature would not be able to breathe, and there is little selective advantage if the creature is no longer alive. As stated in the introduction, the possibility of an intelligent cause is both a valid scientific assumption and borne out by the evidence itself, unquote. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.